to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 26 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, Jimmy and Sam bring to us an incredible interview with the producer director of the new Walt Disney early history movie called As Dreamers Do. I guarantee you're going to enjoy this interview. Before we get to that, I wanted to touch base on our March Madness brackets, the Disney Nerds attraction brackets we started last week. Thank you all for voting on our Sweet 16. We really appreciate it. However, those vote is so close out there, we decided to leave it up for another week, and we'll get back to our brackets on our next show. So if you have a chance, please go out to the DisneyNerds.com website and cast your votes for our Sweet 16 March Madness attractions. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with the show, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. Now on to the interview.
This week we have some really exciting news. Me and Sam. Sam, say hello.
How's everybody doing?
Fantastic, thanks. Me and Sam are going to have Logan Seculo, who is the director slash producer of a biopic film called As Dreamers Do, which is basically a story of Walt Disney. Hello, Logan. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you let me speak to your audience and talk a little about this movie we got coming out.
We are so excited to have you. So I'll let you go ahead and just start, and then maybe start from the beginning on why this movie, why Walt Disney?
Sure. I've been a fan of Walt and obviously of the parks and of the Disney company in general since as long as I can remember, really. And then it really started for me as a passion for Disney when I was a little kid. When I was probably 8 to 10 years old, somewhere in there, I picked up a biography of Walt that I was way too young to read. Probably should never have read it, but I did, and his story has always stuck with me. And it was really exciting to tell the story, and it's something I've wanted to do for a long time. Since I decided to start making movies, which is when I was in my early teens. And I always wanted to tell the story. I thought it'd be great to. It just wasn't ever the right time. I wasn't sure if people in our age group demographic or younger really cared anymore. As Disney wasn't exactly showing as much of Walt as they did in the past, it wasn't necessarily something that I felt like was on the forefront of people's psyche. There wasn't something that was showing up. So we decided that a few months ago, really, I mean, this is how amazing it is, about 6 months, 7 months ago, late fall, I kind of said, you know what, I think this is time. It's time to make this movie. It's a story I want to tell. I really did. And I'm not bashful or ashamed to say that I thought, you know, I've wanted to tell the story forever. I've been a huge fan of Walt and of Disney and the parks and everything my entire life. I got married at Disney World. It's something that has been with my family since I was a little kid. I got pictures from when I can't even remember going to the parks. Awesome. And it really has been a passion for me. And when Saving Mr. Banks was kind of getting some steam, I thought, you know, if there's a time for a younger generation of people be curious about who Walt was and the stories that he told, this would be the right time. And I contacted a friend. I actually used to work kind of on the other side of kids entertainment over at Nickelodeon about 10 years ago. I started there as an intern and just maintained a lot of friendships there. And I contacted my friend who's a writer and said, hey, I want to tell this story. And she's a professional screenwriter, has written for countless Nickelodeon shows, as well as was an editor for Highlights magazine, did a lot of family stuff. Wow. Worked for the WWE, did a lot of fun different writing, and I think it was a fun challenge for her. And we decided to really shape the movie in a different way. It's definitely indie. It has a feel of an independent film. It doesn't have this big budget Hollywood, it just doesn't feel that way. It feels cool and different. And we decided to write it that way. And I've been saying this a lot, and I think it's true, is I also missed the way that live-action Disney movies were in the 50s and 60s. Not me, I didn't grow up in that generation at all, but I grew up watching those movies.
Sure.
So we decided that it would be cool, since it does take place in early 1900s, primarily, exclusively almost, that, the dialogue was already going to have this feel that was nostalgic and doesn't even feel like at this point this is how people really spoke, but it is. So why not play that up a little bit more? So in some ways, to me, especially the first half of the film or quarter of the film when Walt is a kid, it's much of a tribute to Walt and the way he told stories as it is a biopic. And that was kind of cool for us to dive into. As then when he becomes late teen to adult, it turns into more of just a movie about his life. But when he's a kid, it has that sort of feel. We have a narrator that's Travis Tritt, who's a country music star, who came on board, and it has that sort of, he kind of sounds like a mix between, something you'd hear in Davy Crockett and something you'd hear in even like Robin Hood, like the narrator Robin Hood. So it has sort of that feel to it. And I hope Disney fans connect with that and understand that we were going for something there. And the music is very reminiscent of that. Some Sherman Brothers-esque music. And it's pretty neat. I'm really excited for Disney fans to dive into it. Cause at the heart of it, that's who I am. I'm a hardcore Disney fan, and I wanted to make sure that whatever we did it the best we could. And there's some really cool things about the movie, and stop me when you want. I'm happy to.
There's 100 questions I have. You just spilled out so much information. So here's my first question. You mentioned in passing there your stint over at Nickelodeon, right? Mm-hmm. So not only were you an intern, you were Logan the intern on UPIC Live.
Yes, that floats around the internet quite a bit. Yeah.
So how do you go from being Logan the intern on to being an independent film producer? What happens in those years?
Absolutely. I was a kid when I went to film school. I started film school in college when I was 14, and I graduated a little bit after that. And so I was with the school I went to, Full Sail University. I was the youngest graduate there ever, so I had to take a couple years where I couldn't get a job. I was 15 years old, and I didn't really, I kind of went to regular college for a little while too, because at the time, Full Sail was just an associate's program. Now it's a full fledged, you get beer.
And you were 15, right?
I was 15. Make sure I heard that. Yeah, I was 15. And at that point, I was really excited to make movies. And, one thing led to another. I always was interested in kids' entertainment and entertainment for families. And this movie has some of that as well. When I was 17, I said, I went down to Full Sail and I said, hey, I know I'm still a little young here, but I kind of want to start working. And they have an amazing placement program. And, in the next couple of weeks, I was working for Nickelodeon, first in Orlando and then in New York, where the Logan intern thing happened. And that happened largely because of my friends, Kevin Marr, who's a brilliant writer, and then Wendy Ott, who wrote the movie, and Jeremy Lipke, all these guys who were just amazing, who I really connected with, and they decided to start writing me into the show. But how it went from there to there, it's been 10 years. I had a television show. I've done a bunch of documentaries. I've worked in film for a long time now. And even though I'm at a young age, it feels like it's been 13 years almost since I've started doing this professionally. And this is really my first attempt at a narrative feature-length film. And it just felt like the time was right. I think that I've gained enough knowledge. I think I had enough, enough experience in the past to kind of have an idea of where things are going. And as technology has morphed, you would be shocked when you see our film and then you see the behind-the-scenes footage we'll release of how small the crew is. You're talking five or six guys most of the time, a couple actors, some mild lighting, but some of the stuff is just straight up beautiful. And it's just because technology has come a ways. From when I went to film school, you couldn't edit a movie. You couldn't shoot, unless it was like on your VHS deck, you couldn't do anything. And then, jump 12, 13 years later, and pretty much anyone with an iPhone can make a better movie than we could then. And that's been remarkable, and we fully embraced it.
I find it remarkable just you saying that, the idea for this came up 6 months ago.
Yeah, I don't want to say that. The idea came up with it. Like I said, the idea has been in my head. I've wanted to tell the story.
Sure.
But we decided to implement it. And that's also a little bit of how I work. I'm not what would drive me crazy, and the reason that I don't operate in Hollywood, at least at this time, is I have an idea, I want to get it made, and I want to get it done. And trust me, there's been thousands of ideas that have made it through a kind of a rule where it's, if I'm still talking about it 2 weeks later, it's an idea worth pursuing. And that's kind of what happened with this one, and everyone seemed to get on board. And all the pieces just started to fall in. And Yeah, really, we didn't get a final script. Like, we probably went through 6 or 7 drafts of the script, but we didn't get a final script until late November of 2013. Wow. So just a few months ago, really. And then we started shooting in January, and we had a 15-day shoot that was crazy, that nearly killed us. Literally, I mean, I know next time to plan days off, we just didn't have it in the budget. So we worked as hard as we could for those 15 days. And now, just a mere, 8 weeks later, the film is very, very close to being finished. And we're sending it around right now to a couple different cool places that could blow up to do something amazing. But it's already available for pre-order. That's just kind of how I decided that we needed to do it. If we're going to be independent, stay true to being independent. Not that there wasn't interest from distributors, and not that we're not still currently talking to some of them. But I wanted to say was, for your digital downloads and all that stuff, let's us handle that and do it ourselves. We can. And it all just fell into place, man. It was a dream to do. It sounds ridiculous because of the title, but it was an amazing experience. Brutal. But it really is a different time that now anyone can really make a movie. We didn't go to Kickstarter, we didn't anything like that, and I see people that do that, and I'm fully supportive. Like, I gave a lot of money to the Zach Braff Kickstarter because I know what it takes to make that kind of movie. But I see people that make shorts and things like that on those things, and that's cool, whatever, do what you want to do, I'm not complaining. But if you want to make a short film, you got an iPhone, go make yourself a short film. The tools are at everyone's disposal at this point. Even cameras have dropped and editing systems have dropped. I mean, it's really it's really amazing. I couldn't be more proud of the film we made, but also just the fact that we were able to do it and it look amazing on such a small scale. It's pretty fun.
And 100% independent, which is amazing. And I was going to ask you about Kickstarter, but sounds like you just had some funding somewhere. Things fell into place. You had a script, which I'm sure took a little while to develop that script into its final format. But once you had that, about 6 months beginning to end, which could potentially be any day now when we're going to see this.
Oh yeah, we're days away from completing production. And when I mean like I'm talking about, we've probably 2 visual effects and then we're finishing some credits and that's all we have left. And then the film is going to come out. If you pre-order it, the film will be out in mid-April, April 17th. You'll get it directly to your inbox. You'll get a digital download of it if you're an early bird. And for those that don't pre-order, you'll be able to get the film in May. That date is to be determined right now, but sometime probably mid-May.
I hate to interrupt you, but where can our listeners get that?
Yeah, it's at cwaltmovie.com. Everything we have is Walt Movie. So if you go to waltmovie.com or facebook.com/waltmovie, which is the most updated place we have and where fans go crazy, it's a lot of fun to share with people. Hopefully don't disappoint 50,000 plus of them. But it's been a lot of fun with that. But if you just want to pre-order, you're excited about the movie, it's cwaltmovie.com, like S-E-E, waltmovie.com. And there's a bunch of different options starting at, for early birds, starting at $20 and up. For if you just want to pre-order the movie and get it when it comes out, $10. There's a lot of different fun options for Disney fans. We've got Laugh-O-Gram t-shirts. We've got custom art. We got lots of fun stuff.
Awesome.
That is really geared towards the Disney fans like myself. We were looking at the merchandise, like, should we do an As Dreamers Do shirt? Should we do that? It's like, that's cool, but I don't even think I would wear it. But I would wear a Laugh-O-Gram,
right.
So, sure. So we decided to make that. And the story of Walt is it's just amazing. And when a lot of people just picture him, even some Disney fans who are just, maybe they're just a fan of the parks, they're just a fan of the cartoons, they don't know really the struggles he went through as a young man.
Sure.
To come from pretty much nothing in the Midwest, where going even in entertainment wasn't very, wasn't very plausible, and then to literally change the planet. It's just a great story. And we've done something kind of cool, and this may steal one of your questions, and I know I'm just rambling, but for those people that are very much particular, I know some Disney fans have come and said, I hope you do this exactly how it happened, yada yada. No, a lot of this stuff happened 100 years ago. So we have to, we have to trust certain facts. But what we've done is, if Walt told the story a certain way, we've tried to capture that as close as we could. Even if a historian has said, he maybe didn't do that. Maybe he talked to somebody else. Maybe there was something like this. But that probably didn't happen. We've decided it's just first-hand account from Walt is what we want to go with. And a lot of the movie is based on those. Even, like I said, even ones that even he probably told 5 or 6 different ways, and that were a little bit more, sound like an awesome myth. And who knows if they're true. But we wanted to tell, honestly, in a way that's sort of, if Walt Disney was to make a movie, you know, in his time about his young life, what are the stories he would want to tell? And it was a fun kind of exploration into that, which was, yes, there are six different versions of this mouse story that's in the movie. Who right. knows if any of them are true?
Right.
But it's fun that he told it, and it was a fun way that he told it, and it was fun to explore on camera. He made a more entertaining life probably for himself than he had as a young man, and we decided that was kind of the angle to go with. So I don't want people to get hung up. Yes, there's a ton of facts in there. There's a ton of little hidden references to Disney fans, to Disney Parks fans, to movie fans. They'll be fun to kind of dissect. But, you know, take it with what it is, but understand that the way we came at it, like I said, is as much a tribute as it is a traditional biopic. I mean, you're going to get his heart out of it, but you'll hear some fun stories and, you know, check your facts and see what you agree with. I tend to lean on the side of Walt, but, you know, that's just me.
So there's some storytelling involved. There's along story. With facts.
Hey, I'm not going to... Sure. Well, some of it is just we had to. I mean, if you think about the fact that the movie... Like I said, we opened the movie, he's 4 or 5 years old.
That's it. When does it start? When does the movie
end? Yeah, I was about to ask. Earlier you brought up, you know, you'd mentioned Saving Mr. Banks, and that covers a very specific point in his mm-hmm. life. So, yeah, where what part of his life does this movie
sure.
cover?
Without giving away too much, the movie starts when Walt and his family moved to Marceline, Missouri. So he is at this point, like I said, 4 or 5 years old, and it is it ranges from there till... I don't want to give away exactly any, let's just say he doesn't quite go to Hollywood yet. Right. It is the story of Laugh-O-Gram. It's the story of Alice's Wonderland and his learning to draw, learning to become an animator, meeting Ub Iwerks. All of that story is wrapped up. So it really is the story that a lot of people probably wouldn't tell, because really the stuff that most people know of and that gets crazy, you know, press is the stuff that happens when he gets to Hollywood.
Right.
But we decided
when Walt was on TV every weekend.
Right, and even Uncle before, Walt yeah, exactly. So we decided, number one, it's a lot easier for us to also, you know, I think it's a great story, but it's also it was easier for us to get around some of the legal issues that would come around happening to do with so we stay out of the Walt Disney Company that's traditionally, you know, the main brand company that's currently existing. We deal with Laugh-O-Gram, we deal with stuff that he did before, but also beyond that, it's just an excellent story that, like I said, even Disney fans don't really. But no, yeah, Blind Man's Dream has a little bit in it. I mean, if you go to the Disney Family Museum, you get a lot out of that. But, you know, it's not something that appears that often. You know, him being, like I said, a World War I Red Cross ambulance driver, or him, you know, going through these amazing adventures.
Just watching your trailer, the latest one that's out there right now at yeah. SeaWorld movie, mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of little hidden things that I saw in that trailer that made me go, wow, wait a minute, that's pretty cool. Like from a young boy, Walt, you know, learning to draw. You can kind of see that. Then there's a shot where he's sitting at a train station and he sees a sign that says, "You have the bravery bursting out of your soul. We want you." And
right.
it goes from that shot to a shot where you can tell he's talking to a disappointed mom and dad, and then a shot of him driving an ambulance.
Right.
And I get all of that history in chronological order and exactly what you were talking about.
Right.
And there's a couple things missing in there that I hope are covered in the movie. But, you know, there could be some storytelling. We know that he, you know, changed birth certificate to get in there. There's a whole bunch of
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, again, I'm, for the people that don't know, be quiet now. Don't listen. But, yeah, a lot of that is in there.
I expected so.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's, like I said, the movie is packed full of scenes. So that's what's also interesting, is that it's very unlike an independent film where you'd see, you know, 20 scenes in the movie. There's about 50 scenes in this movie. Now, a lot of them are people in rooms talking to each other. I just find that interesting. That's the way I like to tell stories. So it's a lot of dialogue. But we do get into that. Some of it is perused over a little bit more through narration, just purely to move the story forward in time, where we have a 10-hour movie. So it's 90 minutes. It's exciting. It's funny. It's emotional. You know, he went through a lot of dark times, and it's we don't shy away from that. And I think that there's even, like I said, the birth certificate story where he forged his birthday. Even if you go to, like, the Disney Family Museum, there's even two versions of that story. So it's
right.
odd, because we're not going to please everyone, because the fact that, I mean, it'd be like me even now, but the thing about me, I'm you know, close to 30 now. At double my age, and then talk about when I was 15.
Right.
It's going to be different. I don't have exact recollection.
Sure.
So,
you
know, sure. Walt told them early. So, like I said, if someone says, you know, that fact is, you should have gone the other way around, it's like, trust me, there are plenty of options in this universe that we went with. But as long as we stay true to the spirit, I felt like it was the right way to go.
based on your trailer, I think that you nailed a couple of things that I knew what they were exactly in the split couple of seconds that you had there. And one that I loved were the animators sitting around the drawing boards and the little girl walks in and it's like, oh my gosh, that's Alice. Where'd you find a ringer for her?
I'm talking about that, Logan. Tell us a little bit about the cast.
Sure.
And how you found those guys and girls and, you know, how they all fit.
Sure. To touch on your point a little bit before with Alice, that was the one moment while we were making this movie that I don't even know how to explain how it felt as a Disney fan, because we recreated the Laugh-O-Gram office. It's pretty darn close to the real thing. And then, you know, we had a seamstress or a seamster make up the make the dress, and we got this little girl, and then we recreate quite a few scenes from Alice's Wonderland. And to be in this weird way, there were many times where I was like, wow, this is cool. That was like the one time I'd say while making the movie that was almost surreal. It felt like we were stepping back in time. But to touch on the cast, Olin Rogers, who plays Walt Disney.
He looks quite a bit like Walt, doesn't he?
He does. And more than that, he just blew it away in the audition, man. I mean, he was one of the few cast members I had no relationship with before we made the movie. We kind of had more of an open call for that. And we auditioned a bunch of different people. And then one of the guys who did the score, actually, said, hey, check out this guy. Kind of a friend of a friend of a friend may have sent it in or something like that. And he just seemed perfect. So we sent him the part, got an audition tape, and it didn't matter what we had to do. We had to have him. He was just amazing, a great actor. A lot of people know him from YouTube. He has a big social media presence. I mean, he has 600,000 YouTube subscribers and hundreds of thousands of people on Facebook. He's a big deal. On that wavelength. Now, I'm not really operating that wavelength. So I just was a little bit blinded by who he was. And then it just, when we saw his audition, it was amazing. And then saw his amazing following that a lot of them have quickly jumped on board for the movie. I couldn't be more pleased with the way he presented. He's not really a traditional actor. You know, he's done a lot of his stuff is storytelling. And like I said, he's done some fun short films here and there.
Right.
And we brought him in to do this, which was definitely out of his wheelhouse, was out of our wheelhouse. But he really nails it. And like I said, just has this sort of appeal that some people have been like, some people we've definitely been like, you have been like, he looks just like him. Then I've had some people be like, he doesn't look anything like him. Regardless, his spirit, it connects with Walt to enough to where even I see it. And this is someone who's now seen the movie hundreds of times. And then Ub Iwerks is probably the close. If you actually look, yeah, he looks like Walt. Will Haynes, who plays Ub Iwerks.
Yeah, he does.
I was going to tell you that was the second scene. That's the second scene in your trailer that jumped out at me. Mm-hmm. Was when he looks up from the drawing board.
Yeah.
He has that look on his face like, I've seen that before. I swear I saw that in a documentary.
Yeah, you've seen that picture before. And Ub is definitely sort of our comedic character in the movie. He seemed to be in real life. He had a weird sense of humor, and this guy does. And Will, who played Ub, just I knew he had to be it immediately. And I've known Will. He's been my best friend. He was actually a producer of the movie as well since I was 2 years old. And he just happened to look a whole lot like Ub Iwerks. He had great comedic timing, and we've worked together for years and years and years. So he's Ub Iwerks. And then probably the one name that you guys would recognize is Travis Tritt, who I mentioned earlier, country music superstar, Grammy Award winning, CMA, ACM Award, Entertainer of the Year type guy. And what was cool about that is I had no relationship with Travis at all. When I was working with the writer on the script, I said, hey, I want it kind of country, kind of sweet. I grew up in Georgia. I was like, I kind of like it to have that sort of vibe. And then I was a fan of Travis especially when I was a kid. So I got the script back and I read it in, for some reason in my head, kind of two things hit me. Number one was, for some reason, Travis Tritt is reading this to me in my head. I don't know why. And it comes off a little bit like the Dukes of Hazzard, like Waylon Jennings.
That's awesome.
And I was like, Travis Tritt, why is it? And I was like, you know what?
So how'd you court him?
Absolutely. It was like, it's worth a shot. So I found his management's contact. I cold emailed him and just said, hey, you know what? We're doing this movie. I'm the director and producer. I hear Travis. Let me know what you think. Quickly, I got a response saying this is something he'd be interested in. Send us a script. I mean, within days, he had committed to it. And I've never worked with anyone nicer than Travis Tritt. He came in, recorded all of his dialogue, all of his narration for us. The vibe of the film, he just drives it. It's awesome. And he's probably one of my favorite decisions made. And the fact that who I almost visualized actually did it was really neat. Then what happened was later in that evening, I get an email after he records, and we're in production all day. And I'm bouncing back between his recording session and shooting a scene at the Laugh-O-Gram set. And I get an email saying, hey, with the file attached, Travis was really moved by, really loved it, time and loves the story. He was on the bus tonight headed to the show in, you know, Mississippi or wherever it was, and he wrote you a song. Here's a song.
Oh, and you're kidding me.
It's our, it now is our closing. I mean, the rough, I wish we could use the raw take because it's so cool. But the take he finished is now our end credits theme.
That's incredible.
And it's, but it's just like, that's just like, being able to work with just cool people that were really into it and really kind of just got it and got the story and want to see it succeed. And like I said, he couldn't be a greater guy. Happy to, more than happy to have him as sort of an ambassador for this film. It's been great. And along with everyone else, I mean, there's tons. I can go through, like I said, there's 50 scenes. You can imagine how many cast members there are. There were quite a bit, even if some of them have, you know, one line or whatever, there's quite a bit. But a lot of them, most of them came from personal connections I had. I like working with friends. And I decided that if someone could fill the role that I felt, I mean, I know a lot of people that are actors in the entertainment industry in general, so that helps. But, you know, I wanted to work with people that I either wanted to help.
I think it's so cool that you heard his voice in your head and you just reached out like on a whim, and that's a great story. Let me ask you this. Talking to Travis Tritt and getting to know him a little bit, was he a Disney fan?
Yeah, definitely. We'll have a little interview package that we did. You can see him recording in the studio, and some networks maybe running it soon. He is a Disney fan. You know, I'm not sure. I didn't get deep into the level of like, you know, I didn't start quizzing him on trivia, but he definitely, you know, loves the parks. He loves Walt. He dove into a lot more research after he got the script. But that was one of the initial things I got is, yeah, Travis is a Disney fan, and he would love to tell a story, especially this story, which doesn't necessarily not fit his wheelhouse. You know, it's a story that kind of starts in the country and moves up, and it almost flows like a Travis Tritt song or a country music song. It's, you know, a guy who comes from nothing and changes the world. And so I think it resonated with him on a bunch of different levels. And I think it's also something new and a fun challenge for him to do, opposed to just, you know, selling out shows nationwide.
Another concert, right.
Yeah, another concert. He could sit in a studio for, you know, half a day or a day and you know, be a part of this movie that, like I said, more than anyone, he's probably promoted the movie, even more probably than my personal social media pages. He's probably posted more than I have, which is just really neat. I mean, like I said, he's a great guy, and you're right. That was the one thing that was one of the more exciting moments was, and honestly, one of the few nerve-wracking moments of initially doing it, is because I heard his voice in my head for so long that when he sat down to read, I was like, oh, please let this be. And when he was a nice guy, I was like, okay, good, he's a good guy, I like that, you know, it was positive. And then the next thing was, okay, he sits down, he reads, and the first thing I heard was just exactly what we wanted. Even the people that questioned me immediately got it when they heard his voice. They were like, that's, you nailed it. He is amazing, and was a Disney fan. And most of the people on board are Disney fans. There's a couple people that I had to explain to them what their references were. And some of them to me, I was like, that's the most obvious Haunted Mansion reference ever. How do you not?
A hint of an Easter egg.
Yeah. Trust me, it's not even an Easter egg. It's like, if you're at all a fan, this one's like a slap in the face.
Right.
You'll know exactly what it is.
Right.
There's a few of the ones that are more subtle. This one is like a straight up, if you decently know the script, you'll recognize a few things there. And he already has kind of a Haunted Mansion-y tone. But I had explained, like, oh, this comes from the Haunted Mansion. He was like, oh, okay, sure. And he was like, you know, because I forget not everyone is us and knows the entire script of the Haunted Mansion.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's the fun part about making a movie. Now, I know a lot of people have already kind of said, you know, are you just a Disney fan making a movie about Disney? And there's some truth to that. I absolutely am. I'm very true to the story. I want to make sure that we get the right vibe out. But I also am making a movie that hardcore Disney fans should really enjoy, even if just on the fact of searching for these little fun hidden things or enjoying, I said, Easter eggs kind of throughout the movie. And it was fun to kind of insert things where we could.
So let me ask you, going back to you, Logan, earlier in the show, you had mentioned that, you know, when you were real young, you had read a Walt Disney biography.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you'd be doing what you're doing now had you not read that biography? I mean, did that kind of push you in a direction of film, you know, that industry?
Sure. I mean, I could say there's probably a handful of people that without them, I would have never really. I mean, I grew up a little bit in in some television work with my family and radio. So there was some of that already there. But with Walt, I was very passionate about telling stories that could appeal to the whole family. Sure. And I can't help but think, I mean, some of that was young. Some of that was, hey, it'd be like me telling a story when I, you know, like Walt, like I said, it would be different ways. But I have a distinct memory of picking that book up and reading it, all the way through. And it was, you know, it was huge. It was hundreds and hundreds of pages. And I don't know, it's probably one of the ones that, that people hate. I honestly couldn't even tell you what title it was. It was just one of those ones that came out, and I bought it at, you know, whatever our local bookstore was. Definitely without Disney, there's no way I would be even really interested in telling stories. I can simply say with what the Disney company is now, which is without Walt, without George Lucas, without these guys who so much influenced, not necessarily the way I produce film, but just guiding me down that path. Sure. There's just no way that I would have at all been interested in it. And I've always been obsessed with movies, and that's not something that was new, even when I was 10.
I think anybody that hears any interview that, you know, just in prepping, I've listened to a couple of things, just little interviews and snippets that you had done, and talking to Unite, I mean, I think anybody that listens to you talk for 5 seconds can hear that you have a very, very strong passion for what you're doing, and a very, very strong passion for Disney, and that's, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's probably more important than people understand, and I don't want to oversell it because I know that some things aren't perfect. I know it's an independent movie, and there was limitations we had. But I also want to know people that our hearts are all in the right places, and we have no interest in. A lot of people ask the controversial questions, like, "Did you go into this dark part?" Which is all mostly rumor, and we don't. You know, this movie is it deals with reality for sure. But it's there to inspire hope and to hopefully, if anyone watches it, whether you're want to be in the entertainment industry or not, will hopefully find some inspiration in the fact that this man and this boy goes through all of this, is rejected, fails, turns down, goes bankrupt, all this stuff happens, and then, you know, 10 years later is the Walt Disney we know. And that's sort of the cool part, is where our movie ends, you can kind of fill in the blank. Which is essentially, I mean, there's obviously a lot of, you know, Oswald and all of that, but there's, he goes to Hollywood, and 5 years later creates Mickey Mouse.
Sure.
And so, I mean, that just shows you, when you see all the stuff he goes through, it should relate to anyone who just experienced life and wanted to do things differently or had, had passion or even a set of morals that they wanted to prove. So I'm happy that Disney fans understand that, that I'm one of them, that I'm a hardcore fan to the point of ridiculousness. Like, I got married there. I'm there. I'm at Disney World. I'm at Disneyland all the time. It's something that's near and dear to my heart in a way that it's one of the weird parts about making this movie is I don't know if I'll ever be able to make another movie like it that I am as passionate about, because it's the story that. Like I said, that it was an inspiration. It was one of the stories that shaped my career and my life. So I can't help but saying, you know, this is beyond a passion project.
So, you know, that brings up another good question. And have you ever thought, and I know you're just not even really finished with this one yet, but has the thought crossed your mind of maybe doing like a sequel that takes kind of where this one kind of leaves off and kind of tells the rest of the story?
A lot of that will be determined, you know, by the reception. And whether, you know, the film does well, whether that's through the pre-ordering, which is doing pretty well, or whether that's through our general release. Is it the first thing on my mind? Not yet, but I'm not going to say I haven't at least toyed around with what we could do still with this story. There's a large, because of the fact that it's 90 minutes packed in, I honestly, I can't get into what it is, because I don't want to reveal it yet, but there's a subsection of the movie that I think could be expanded into a series, could be expanded into a film itself, that I think is still in this time period. And that's something that I'm interested in, that I hope to explore. For a sequel and those kind of things, it gets a little hairy, not going to lie, when it comes to trademarks and characters.
Sure, you mentioned that earlier.
So, trust me, I would love to tell the next part of the story. And, you know, we probably could get away with a lot, but I think this is the untold part. This is the part that I wanted people to see, and I do still think there's more untold that hopefully we can get into depending on the success. So like I said, that's all kind of in and now the hands of the viewer. And we hope that, they attach themselves to this movie and they get what we were going at, you know, beyond just here's a movie about Walt Disney. I know a lot of people will say, a lot of people have said, well, clearly Saving Mr. Banks came out and these guys decided to make a movie. And while I do admit that it helped me essentially get the movie made, it's not like it wasn't something that was a passion for me before. It was something that I've lived with my entire life, and it's just exciting. And I know I've been rambling on for forever, guys, so I don't want to...
That's all right.
We love hearing it.
Well, that's great, and that passion shows, and that's what got the movie done, or just about done. So it's, what, today is March 20th. This show will probably come out a week from now, Wednesday next week. I've heard you say before that mid-March, early April is when the movie will go out. Do you have a date? What else can you share?
We do. It been bumped back a little bit, and that was due to the fact that we are – I can't say we're working with some companies. We're working with some we can't make any big announcements yet. There are some in the pipeline that really will hopefully legitimize the movie in some ways to not only Disney fans but to the world. And that's something that we had to push the movie back just a little bit. So what we're doing right now is the movie is – if you pre-order right now on seewaltmovie.com, if you do any of the early bird options, which is $20 and up, you'll get the movie
digital download. Some include T-shirts. Some include pretty cool postcards. I see that out here.
It goes insane. If you want to come to the premiere, you can do that. I mean, there's a lot of options on there. But if you do anything over $20, and yeah, for the postcards, that's interesting. Little side story is Tom Bancroft, who is Disney, pretty much animation legend, who created, was the character artist and was animator for Young Simba and the Lion King, and for Pocahontas, for Mushu and Mulan, for Iago and Aladdin. The guy who pretty much animated all those, created those characters, he does our opening credits. Does our characters, our versions of Walt and Elias and in the style of Disney animation, especially in the style of older Disney animation. So he came on board. Just, he honestly sent us a Facebook message, and there's a lot of people within the Disney company in animation that are really excited about this, and I that couldn't be more happy. But for the people that want to see the movie, to get back on target, it comes out April 17th for those people that that pre-order now, or April 18th, but you'll probably get it April 17th. Let's say sometime within that day, you're going to get a digital download sent to your inbox, or with a link to your inbox that will take you to a place where you can get the movie after you've pre-ordered. The pre-order ends now. It ends a week before that, so it ends April 11th. And the reason that we give it a week is that a lot of the options, you get your name in the credits. So we need to have time to build that out. So,
I saw that here, one of the VIPs. You can put a name in the credits. Nice.
Yeah, even some of the – I'm thinking some of the non-VIPs, you can get your name in the credits. It's a fun little thing. Yeah, everything after the Kansas City package you get in.
Oh, nice.
They get your name in the credits, and you can be a permanent part of the movie. But that takes a little time to build. So the sale ends April 11th. April 17th, you're going to get the movie. If you decide to wait, which I understand, a lot of people, you want instant gratification, you want to watch the movie, you want to watch it right now. It'll be available. I can't say the specific date right now, but our premiere is May 13th in Franklin, Tennessee, right side of Nashville, where we shot 100% of the movie. And then we're premiering the next week in L.A. at UCLA. Sometime in that white region, the movie will be released to the general public. So mid-May, you'll be getting your merchandise and all of that at the same point. So that day will be released very soon when we actually have it 100% locked in. But
so May 13th in Tennessee. If I want to go to that, what do I do?
If you want to go to the premiere, like I said, go to seewaltmovie.com. There's VIP packages at the top. We know that the prices are high. We understand we're in a small theater, and that's along with a bunch of things you get. It's something that it's very – for the people that really – have been passionate about this project from day one, or have really caught on to the bug, or really just want to experience something cool, which is to go to a movie premiere in a cool historic theater in a cool historic area of outside of Nashville. And you know, it's a fun trip. Nashville's hot right now, so it's fun to people to come see it. And we encourage everyone to take a look at those packages, and especially if there are a lot of them come with multiple tickets, you can start splitting them up with your friends. But beyond that, just take a look at the packages we're offering. Like I said, they range from $10 to $500. So, and we've sold, everywhere in between. So it's something that that we hope that we can appeal to everyone. The people that really want that exclusivity, and to do something that's that's beyond just supporting the movie have the ability to, or a person that just wants a DVD, or a person that just wants these art prints or anything like that, can dive in. And those postcards, like I said, will be the, at least the one side of them will be that, will be the opening credits sequence by Tom Bancroft, and he's signing them as well. So that's a cool Disney collector item there. And he'll be signing those, and you can see there's a lot of different options. And hey, if there's something that's not on there that anyone wants, send us a message via Facebook or go to our website and find a way to contact us. We're very we're totally independent, so we can be get very, very creative when it comes to if you have something that you have on your mind that we can do for you, we're happy to accommodate. And like I said, the movie is it's fun. It's for the family. You know, I think there's some, you know, maybe not for little kids, but it's something that people that hopefully know about Walt, and people that listen to your show for sure will, you know, dive into in a different way. And the people that don't know, it'll be a great introductory for people who are trying to get their family to kind of get it and to see what it was, even beyond the parks and beyond the movies. Where did it start? And it's a remarkable story that I couldn't be more pleased to tell. And I really do appreciate you guys that let me on here. And you guys, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to shoot them our way at anything Walt Movie. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, or website, Walt Movie. Get in touch with us there. And we're very open to talking to anyone. And, you know, it's the pleasure of being as independent as we can be, which is being able to have one-on-one connections with every single person who decides to, you know, join in this movie.
Well, we really, really appreciate you coming on and sharing your passion with us. And, I mean, obviously we all share a passion of Disney. You were talking about the release dates, and I'm thinking, okay, if I pre-ordered, it's going to be April 17th, and you know what? I arrive in Walt Disney World that day. So,
nice, Jimmy.
So
nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to myself, that could be a really good day. I could get my early release of the movie and be in Disney at the same time. You know. So to our listeners, please go visit Logan's website, see Walt Movie, go to the Facebook page, and please like it. And spread the word to your friends. So,
yeah, absolutely. It's a word of mouth movie, and the more being independent, the more people we've talking about it, the better the chance for this thing to get to the next level. So I really do appreciate you guys taking the time to be a part of it, and hopefully we can give you a little supplemental airplane entertainment for your trip.
Awesome. Thanks. There you go. Lot.
Yeah, it ends the quote that ends the trailer. I love, right? Which is Walt having a conversation with his little friend. Sure. I'm going to change the world, and it all starts right here.
Yeah, I mean, it's everyone knows, but Disney fans know that, you know, it all started with a mouse quote. And weirdly enough, you know, I don't know if our writer necessarily knew that initially. And she wrote it, and I was like, oh, is this kind of a takeoff on that? And she was like, oh, maybe. and what's cool was...
Sure. Do you want it to be? Yes.
Then I was like, this... Disney fans will love this like me. I was like, because this is, I mean, like I said, he's talking to a little mouse, which is the story. What was fun about that is actually, to me, the lack of people who have mentioned that line. It's been like, I get the select few, they're like, oh my gosh, you guys, that's awesome. And then a few people have just been like right over their heads. So I'm glad you guys, hopefully get your listeners. And there's quite a few things like that in the movie. And that's where I don't want people to be like, these guys are making this cheeseball movie with all these one-liners from Disney history. Don't worry, that's not it. There's some in there for you guys, though, for people like me that are going to go, ah, look, there it is. You know, in general, I'm glad you enjoy that, and that's a powerful moment in the film.
And that is why we are all Disney nerds. Thanks for joining us on the podcast, and it's why I'll probably have a Laugh-O-Gram T-shirt at some place. Right next to my little Orange Bird T-shirt, because I think they're kind of in the same boat. I love it.
I'd like that Orange Bird T-shirt too, man. That's something. Well, maybe we can get you something else. All right, have a good evening, guys.
Thank you so much,
guys. That's it for us. Thank you, Sam. Thank you again, Logan.
Well, that's it for show number 26. Big thanks to Logan for coming on our show and giving us the inside information about his new movie, As Dreamers Do. Just a reminder, if you want to go to the website, see that trailer we were talking about, the address is www.waltmovie.com. Also, if you want to find out some information about some of that merchandise or some of the early release downloads, go to the website www.seewaltmovie.com. That's SEEWALT movie.com. Again, thanks, Logan. An incredible interview, and it's so good to know that somebody making a movie like this is such a Disney nerd. Again, if you guys want to get in touch with the show, please email us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com and let us know what you thought. Send us any questions, and let us know when you're going to Walt Disney World. As always, we're on our Facebook page, and if you want to go out and help us vote for our Sweet 16 on the website, it's thedisneynerds.com. Look for the Disney Sweet 16 link. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Without you, we really couldn't do this show. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.